Morning, everyone. Welcome to Stronghold Baptist Church. If you can grab your hymnals and open up to song number 75. Hymn number 75, On Jordan's Stormy Banks. Hymn number 75. On the first,
on Jordan's stormy banks I stand and cast a wishful eye to Canaan's fair and happy land where my possessions lie. I am bound for the promised land. I am bound for the promised land. Oh, will come and go with me. I am bound for the promised land. All o'er those wide extended plains from eternal day, there God the sun forever reigns and scatters night away. I am bound for the promised land.
Let's turn to our next song, song number 41. Hymn number 41, Sweet By and By. Hymn number 41. On the first,
there's a land that is fairer than day. And by faith we can see it afar, for the Father waits over the way to prepare us a dwelling place there. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. In the sweet sing on that beautiful shore the melodious song of the blessed, and our spirit shall sorrow no more, not a sigh for the blessing of rest. In the sweet by and by,
time we'll go through our announcements. It's always a good idea to remember to put your phones on silent before we start service.
Appreciate that. If you don't have a bulletin yet, slip up your hand real high and we will get one out to you. Brother Lindsay will get one out to you if you need one. Not a lot has changed since last week, but let's go through our announcements. So if you open up to the first page, we've got our service times listed. There's always Sunday morning at 10:30. Sunday afternoon again at 4 p.m. and then Wednesday night at 7 is our Bible study. We're in Isaiah chapter 9 this week. Don't miss that. Come out to our midweek service. We've got the soul winning opportunities listed there, as well as the salvations and baptisms for the month of May, as well as for 2021. Let's go ahead and count up any salvations. If you have any salvations to report, you haven't reported that you had during the week, just slip up your hand real high and we'll make sure we get those counted. We have one from this morning. So, amen. And also, we're having a baptism after church this morning, so stick around for that. We're gonna do that outside this time. We're gonna try something a little bit different. I brought a longer hose since we reorganized the mother baby room here. There's not as much room in there, and it's nice to be able to have more people be able to kind of witness the baptism. So exciting! Stick around for that. Salvation. Friday. Very good. Anyone else with a salvation to report for the week? Great. Well, keep up the good work. It's starting to get a little bit hotter, and we're dealing with that. I need to get someone out here. I think the service, our AC units, not too bad. I thank God that we have temperature control. It's pretty nice. But here I thought I was already acclimated to Georgia humidity, but apparently not. You could probably see the sweat rolling down my face. It just is what it is. So doesn't bother me any. Hopefully it doesn't bother you. If it gets a little too cold, you could ask one of our ushers. You can ask Brother Lindsay to if things get like real hot. We got two thermostats, so go ahead and turn those down if needed. And if it gets too cold, bring extra clothing. We don't want to keep you in an ice box, but it's hard to keep everybody happy. So that's what's going on there. We've got the offering totals listed down there at the bottom of the page for the month of May. Prayer requests, not much has changed. Please continue to pray for everybody that's on our list here. We added All Scripture Baptist Church, Pastor Fritz as our pastor and church that we're praying for this week. So continue to pray for various churches and friends of ours that their ministry is going well and that God will bless them. On the next page, we've got our May challenge, trying to get at least one person baptized this month. Focus on bringing up baptisms, and everyone who's able to complete this challenge is going to receive a prize if you're involved in that decision making to help somebody get baptized. We are ready to do baptisms all the time, as we are right now. We just find out this morning, we do a baptism, great. We get the tub out, we get the hose out, and we're ready to go. So we've got the change of garments as well as towels and everything, so not a problem at all doing baptisms. Soul winning marathon, all right. This is coming up already. This is going to be here next week, this Saturday coming up. So we are going to Greenville, South Carolina. And Brother Miller's already planned out some locations that should be very receptive, should be open, that are also very close to our meeting place here. So if you are planning on attending this event in the morning, slip up your hand or I get a good count. Try to keep your hands up high, and I want to be able to see who all is coming. Brother Carter, is your whole family coming or just you? Thank you. And just if you could hold your hands up, I want to just make sure we have enough breakfast for people who are attending, so that way I'm not buying too much or too little. Okay, Cassia, I see your hand. Peter and I. And Miller's. Is it all your whole family? Okay, five. Yeah. That's what I mean. Freeman's, everybody, I assume. Yeah. And is it just you coming? Or
myself and my
son. You and your son. Okay. Very good. Very good. And then, all right. I'm going to ask again later this evening in case we missed anyone. Now, is there anyone who's going to come but isn't going to make breakfast? Is there anyone else planning on attending that's not going to be there in the morning? Well, that makes it easy. You're all welcome to come and join us. Anyone who's not able to, right? I understand it's a far trip, but I think this is going to be a great event. So we've got, I'm going to find out if, you know, some of the members from Sword of Spirit are going to come and show up as well. I talked with Pastor Williams a couple days ago, a day or two ago, and invited them. So we'll see if they're going to end up coming as well. And I do know that there are other people interested in coming from South Carolina. Did you, Brother Miller, did you get a chance to contact anyone yet from the contact list? Could you do that today or this evening or sometime to send off an email? Or if you want, I can do it on my contacts. It's not a big deal. Okay. Just get the word out there, ask them, and then get back to me if there are people attending. Ask them to RSVP to just let you know, because we're going to just tell them we're buying breakfast. You know, we're buying breakfast, lunch, and dinner for those that go the whole time. Obviously, we could figure out the food once people actually show up, but for in advance, I need to know at breakfast so that we have enough food for the people who are coming. So that is the deal there. We got the Bible memory passage now. The deadline is tonight. Who has completed or you know you're going to complete this by this evening? Let's see a show of hands for that. One, two, three. All right, I counted three. I hope I'm not losing you because I'm not being quick with the prizes. They are coming. I promise you that they are coming. And I apologize for the delays, but we will get you caught up on all of the prizes. I have not forgotten about them, and I do have them recorded and written down and even in my phone as to how many prizes we need for all the different events. So I'm going to get that caught up. My plan is to have that caught up this week. So, all right, very good. Very good with the Bible memory. And then next week we're going to start the rest of John chapter 8. So if you are already caught up, you want to get a head start. You know, you've got this week. I would recommend, if you have been memorizing all of John 8 with us so far to this point, to take this week even just to go through verses 1 through 43. Try to get that down, because at the end we're going to do give you a few more weeks to get it all down pat. But it's a good idea to do a refresher if you haven't been doing a refresher on those other verses. So. Very good. It's a long chapter, but it's a great one to have memorized. Birthdays and anniversary. We got Brother Mo has his birthday today. Hopefully we'll see them this evening. We'll sing him a happy birthday. And that's about it for our announcements. Trying to remember if there's anything else going on. We did receive a lot of Being Baptist DVDs. Plenty. So we're not going to be going out of stock anytime soon. On those, feel free to distribute those, of course, as with all of our DVDs. Hand them out, bring them out, soul winning. We've got a lot, so make sure that those are getting into the hands of people who are going to watch them. And I think that's it for the announcement. So, Brother Peter, please lead us in our next song.
Turn your eyes upon Jesus. 261.
Thank you.
offering. I'm going to ask Brother Lindsay if he can do that for us. While the offering plate is being passed around, if you guys can open up your Bibles, the book of Hebrews, chapter 10. That's the book of Hebrews, chapter 10. And as we do customary here at Stronghold Baptist Church, we're going to read the entire chapter. Now I'm going to ask Brother Carter if he can please do that for us.
Once again, that's Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never with those sacrifices which they offer year by year continually make the comers thereunto perfect. For then would they not have ceased to be offered, because that the worshippers, once purged, should have had no more conscience of sins. But in those sacrifices there is a remembrance again made of sins every year. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, He said, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast had no pleasure. Then said I, lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me, to do thy will, O God. Above, when he said, sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings and offering for sin thou wouldest not, neither hast pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. Then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And every priest standeth daily, ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified, whereof the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us. For after that he had said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Now where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh, and having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. For if we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Of how much sore punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy, who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God, and hath counted the blood of the covenant, wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace? For we know him that hath said, vengeance belongeth unto me, I will recompense, saith the Lord. And again, the Lord shall judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. But call to remembrance the former days, in which, after ye were illuminated, ye endured a great fight of afflictions, partly whilst ye were made a gazing stock, both by reproaches and afflictions, and partly whilst ye became companions of them that were so used. For ye had compassion of me in my bonds, and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourselves that ye have in heaven a better and an enduring substance. Cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come, and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. Let's have a word of prayer. Lord God, we thank you for your word this morning. Father, we ask, Lord, as it come forth, Lord, that we would give our attention to it, that we would be diligent and carrying out your word this morning. Pray, Lord, that your power and your spirit be upon Pastor as he bring forth your word this morning as well. And your son, we ask and pray. Your son, Jesus' name, we ask and pray. Amen.
All right, the sermon I'm going to preach this morning is entitled, Why You Should Attend Stronghold Baptist Church. Why You Should Attend Stronghold Baptist Church. And you're sitting here going, I already do, Pastor Burson, so why are you preaching this? Well, first of all, I want to say this, though, too, that, you know, the title is Why You Should Attend Stronghold Baptist Church because we have all of these various attributes that I'm going to be preaching on. But it's not intended to just to make it look like we're the only church that believes this way, all right? This isn't a cult. It's not like, oh, we have the foothold and the only, you know, source of truth for the Bible, and you have to come here in order to receive any knowledge from God and from, you know, like, no. But what we do have are some, you know, very important elements that need to be in any church that you choose to attend, right? So I'm going to go over these and focus on some of the important things that you ought to be looking for in a church. That, yes, our church does possess these things, and that's why I think it is a good idea, and I think that people should come to Stronghold Baptist Church. Not because we're the only church, we have a corner on the truth, or anything like that. We've cornered the market, and we're the only ones that have the truth. No, there's other churches that believe the same way, and I'm not even going to go into, you know, various doctrines. There's only one doctrine I'm going to cover that's extremely important. That's the one of salvation. Like, you know, there's going to be lots of different doctrinal differences, but that's not why you should attend Stronghold Baptist Church. Now, I also want to mention this, is that there's going to be many things that I mention here, but it's not a complete list either. I think there's many great reasons to attend our church specifically that's more than just, you know, some of these main areas I'm going to be focusing on this morning. Unfortunately, there's just not going to be enough time to get into every single aspect of this church that makes us a great church. I mean, one of them is just the unity. It's not even in my notes. There's a great unity here and family feel among our church that's been amazing and has been great. Not to mention that our church members, by and large, the vast majority of our congregation, all really, honestly, believe the Bible and are not just showing up because they feel like they just, well, I just have to go to church somewhere, so I might as well just go here. That's not our church. Now, there may be plenty of other churches out there where that's the case, where people aren't that excited. They don't really care. They kind of go and show up because they feel like it's their duty to go, but they're not. Their heart is not in it. In this church here, the people are going to meet and the people are going to see and become friends with, hopefully, if you attend our church, is its sincerity. There's honesty. And the people really do care, and it means something to everybody here. Their spiritual life actually matters. Now, we started off reading in Hebrews chapter 10. The first reason you should attend church here is because you have to go to church somewhere. Right? The first point is that, you know, too many people these days think that church isn't really that important, and it doesn't really matter. And I don't know how many times I've heard, well, I just worship God at home. I mean, I could pray to God on my own, can't I? Yes, you can. I can read the Bible on my own, can't I? Yes, you can. And you should. And you should pray at home. And you should read the Bible on your own. And you should teach your family the Bible. And you should do all those things. But you know what? That doesn't replace church. Amen. That doesn't replace congregating together. That is its own place in Scripture that God has set forth that we need to congregate together. And we start in Hebrews chapter 10 because it very, very clearly tells us that we are not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. This assembly, congregating with other believers, that's what church is. That's what the definition of church is. The church is the congregation. It's an assembly of believers. It's not just a New Testament thing either. That's why the Bible called, you know, when Moses and the children of Israel were in the wilderness, there was a church in the wilderness. Why? Because they were all congregated together at the tabernacle and were learning and worshiping and serving the Lord out in the wilderness. It wasn't about the building. It wasn't about the structure. It was about the gathering. It was about the congregation. Look at verse number 24. The Bible says, "And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works," which, again, just to highlight, I could spend an entire sermon, just I've done this many times in the past, on the importance of church, but there's so many other reasons. Coming to church isn't just to worship. And that, again, that's the common theme among, you know, oh, we're just going to go and worship, we're going to raise our hands up and give glory unto God. Look, let's do that. Let's give glory unto God. We're going to worship the Lord. We're going to praise His name. We're going to do those things, but that's not the only thing the church is about. Because sometimes people think, well, if that's all it's about, you could do that at home. I could sing praises to God. Yes, you can. But you know what you can't do at home? You can't consider one another and provoke unto love and to good works all of these other people in the congregation when you're just sitting at home. How are you going to do that? And no one has enough time to see everybody in church during the week. I mean, it's great if you could visit one or two people, but you know what? Right now, you get to congregate together, and even just being here is an encouragement to everybody else around you. And especially in a world that becomes increasingly dark, where things are becoming worse and worse, and people who hold to the Bible truth are looked on as more and more crazy and out there and extreme and weird, just the act of congregating together helps reinforce and edify you to know you're not alone in this. We're all gathering here together. So yes, and you know, that's just the tip, okay, of why church is important. Besides the fact you could go to other passages where we see God is specifically detailing offices within a church. Who's the bishop of your church at home when you worship God? Who's the elder? Who is the pastor? Who's in charge of, who's running things? Who was ordained of God to be in charge and you know, keeping that office? Because that is a New Testament office for sure. Well, if it's not really that important, then why did God dedicate so many parts of the Bible to telling you how things ought to run in the church? Oh, the church isn't really even that important. Well, let's keep reading here in verse number 25. The Bible says, "Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is." Look, there's always been people who don't want to go to church. This isn't some new thing. This isn't some new thing in the Laodicean age and everyone's just so wishy-washy and watered down that there's so many people. Look, there's always been people. It's always been the manner of some. I don't want to go to church. I don't have to go to church. No, but that's not what we ought to be, not as their manner is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. It's so much more important to be in church now than ever. For if we sin willfully, and look, this is continuing the same thought. If we sin willfully, how are you going to sin willfully? By not going to church. Because you're not supposed to forsake the assembling of yourselves together, and when you decide, no, I'm not going to go. No, I'm not going to do that. Now you're sinning willfully. Now, obviously, you can apply these passages to other willful sins, but in the context, we just got done saying, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. And then continues the same thought, saying, for if we sin willfully, after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fire indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Of how much sore punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy who hath trodden under foot the Son of God, and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace. You know the Bible says that Jesus Christ's blood paid for the church? That he paid for the church with his blood? Church is important. Okay, and I'm not going to, I could go on this one point, but this is just my intro point of saying, hey, you got to go to church somewhere. Right? So why should you come to our church? I mean, you got to pick somewhere. You should be in church somewhere. That's just getting out the gate, right? Why you shouldn't stay at home. But why here, though? If you say, well, you got to go to church somewhere, why here? Because we're not just another Baptist church in Georgia. Stronghold Baptist Church is not just, you could go drive down the street and you're going to find a Baptist church after Baptist church after Baptist church after Baptist church. So why Stronghold Baptist Church? I mean, I've got another Baptist church that's like right down the street from my house. Why don't I just go there? Well, I'm not saying you can't go there. And I haven't been to every church in Georgia. And I know that there's other good churches out there because I have friends in Georgia that have good churches. So I'm not saying don't go to those churches either. I'm just saying, you know, as we get into this, first of all, what makes our church different? Well, one is we've got the right gospel. So when you're looking for a church to go to, you need to make sure you go to the one that's preaching the truth about salvation. There is nothing more important than salvation, whether a soul is going to heaven or hell. What a church believes about what is required for someone to go to be saved, they're not, if they're not believing the same thing, they're not believers. There's not even a legitimate church. I mean, they're called a church, they have a congregation, but if they're a bunch of unsaved people because they're not believing the gospel, then that's not the place to go to. And I'll tell you what, that point eliminates lots of churches in the state. All across the board, tons of churches are just going to be eliminated by not having the right gospel. Now, again, every single one of these points I could preach entire sermons on, and I have preached entire sermons on because each one is really important, so I'm going to try my best to get through this content, but it's important to understand, you know, especially newer believers, okay? Everybody, I think, for the most part, when you get saved, doesn't have necessarily the same or the full understanding of how many people are actually not saved in this world. Okay, and what I mean by that, I'll give you, I brought this up in the past, I bring it up again. My own personal experience, when I got saved, when I was 20 years old, I called on the name of the Lord, I put my faith in Jesus Christ, which is what the Bible says you have to do to be saved, which, by the way, before I even get further in my testimony, the right gospel is believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Amen. That's it. Okay, there is no works, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Okay, if anybody is trying to add any other type of work to salvation, it's a false gospel. False. Not true. Not correct. That is the gospel. And you know what? A church ought to be clear about what they believe. And one of the biggest problems that you're going to find in churches these days, especially amongst Baptist churches, because, you know, there's a whole variety of different so-called Christian churches out there, but one of the biggest things you'll find is people trying to teach you, well, you got to do good. And they'll call it, repent of your sins. You've got to repent of your sins. Now, people mean different things when they say that, so be careful. And again, a newer believer, it's harder to discern all these things and understand the jargon and the talk. But ultimately, if you can talk to the people, talk to the pastor, talk to the church, find out, well, what do you believe? What does that mean? If you say repent of your sins, what does that mean? Does that mean I have to stop sinning? Does that mean I have to feel bad every time I sin? What do you mean by that? And what happens if I don't? If I put my faith in Jesus Christ, but then I sin, am I not saved? What does it mean? Because people mean different things. Well, what if I was a drunk, I get saved, and then I go back to drinking again? Does that mean I'm not saved? Some people will say yes. And that is a works-based salvation. And the people who believe that are not saved. And the reason why they're not saved is because they're not trusting with all of their heart on the Lord Jesus Christ. Because they're trusting in whatever degree, some level of degree of their own obedience to God's law. Because God's law says not to be a drunkard. So if you think you have to not be a drunkard in order to be saved, then you're believing to some extent that you have to obey God's law. And the Bible says, for by the deeds of the law there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. Amen. Right. No. The Bible says, but to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Romans chapter 4. Excellent passage. We go on and on about that. And again, the gospel deserves many, many, many sermons of expounding and explaining the right gospel. But figuring out what church, hey, do you preach the right gospel? When you're a newer believer, when it's something that maybe just happened with you, especially if it's newer for you, you have to realize that there's many ways that people introduce works into their salvation where it's part of what they believe, which is what makes them unsaved. When I first got saved, when I was 20 years old, I called the name of the Lord. I didn't get plugged into a really good church right away or anything like that, but I knew that I was saved because I was raised in a Christian home, but that really wasn't my faith, right? I didn't deny it. I didn't reject Christ. I wasn't rejecting God, but it wasn't my faith. I didn't have my own belief system other than just, well, I'm a pretty good person, so I was relying that I'm pretty good, and that's why I'm going to go to heaven right now. I'm not worried about it because I'm a pretty good person, and that's what the vast majority of people believe in their heart. Is that, yeah, I don't deserve hell. I'm pretty good. God's going to look at me and let me in because he knows my heart. And he's going to see, yeah, I mean, you did some things wrong. You didn't really mean it, so you're going to be allowed into heaven. That's what most people think. I mean, that's what I thought. So when I put my faith in Christ, I thought, wow, I understand now, which I did, and I received salvation as a free gift. And then I was able to understand how I could fully call myself a Christian. Because I would just say that before, but that's just because that's how I was raised. Because it wasn't my actual belief. So in my mind, I'm thinking, okay, now I'm a Christian, and I've joined all of these other people that say that they're a Christian too. Because I just assumed that they were all believing the same thing, and I knew there's differences in different types of churches and whatever, and I always thought that those were just some different doctrinal differences, but ultimately, if you say you're a Christian, it's because you're trusting Christ to be your Savior alone. And that's not true. It's not true. In fact, the vast majority of people, they're going to say that, but in their belief, it's going to end up having works involved. So you've got to understand how important it is that it's not, you can't just go to any church that says they're Christian and expect it to be a good church and expect it to be one that you should be going to. Because if they're wrong about salvation, that's not the right place to be at all. Turn, if you would, to Matthew chapter 7. This will highlight my point here. Besides just giving my own personal testimony, the Bible even tells us that there's many people, they're going to call the Lord their God. They're going to think that they're saved. They're going to be worshiping and serving in their capacity with what they think is right, but they're not saved. Sincerity doesn't determine truth. Sincerity doesn't mean that they're saved or they have the right gospel. There's people who are sincere in many different religions of the whole world. But it doesn't make it right, and it doesn't mean that they're going to heaven when they die. The Muslim that is very sincere in their faith, that turns to the Quran and trusts Muhammad and trusts these teachings and believes in that with their heart, and they're really trusting that, and they think that that's the truth, they're not going to heaven when they die. They're not saved. God doesn't give them a pass and say, oh, well, you know, you're at least following that. No, because there are no other gods, and God is a jealous God. And that Jesus Christ is the only way. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So if you're not going to the Father through the Son of God, then you're not going. It's plain and simple. But not just outside of Christianity, right? That's an easy example. Even within the big umbrella of what people call Christianity today. Matthew 7, verse 21, the Bible says, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Many," look at this, verse 22, "many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works?" Many people are going to be going to God going, "Hey, what about all these works I did for you? I mean, we were prophesying and casting out devils. We were going around doing all this work, Lord, for you." And what's God going to say to these people? Verse 23, "Then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. I never knew you. I never knew you. All this work you think you're doing for me, I never even knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." They're going to be cast into hell. You think about it. The Jews of Jesus' time claimed to believe the Lord. They claimed to believe Moses. They claimed to believe the Bible. And they rejected Jesus Christ. So did they really believe Moses? No. Did they really believe the Bible, the Scriptures? No, because the Scriptures pointed to Jesus. And Jesus himself said, "Look, if you believe Moses, you'd believe me. For he spake of me." He said, "You would believe me." They obviously didn't really believe. They thought they believed. They had a religion, but it was false. So, you know what? That complicates things a little bit. I understand, especially for new believers, it can be complicating. Would you mind grabbing me a cough drop from my office drawer? I really appreciate it. I got a itch in my throat. It can be complicated, but you know what? Ultimately, it's not that complicated because salvation is simple. And anyone trying to complicate salvation is not a place you should be. People try to make salvation confusing, complicated. Well, you need to understand. You know what? It's simple. Hey, I put my trust in Jesus Christ. He's my Savior. I don't save myself. And once he's saved you, you're saved forever. Amen. So find a church that believes that and teaches that. That's the right church to go to. And you know what? That's exactly what we believe right here. So there's a reason to thank you. And in fact, turn to Galatians chapter 1. And the reason why I'm covering this so far in depth too is that this isn't just some minor difference. You know, there's lots of things that people could believe that are different that I would put in a category of a smaller difference. You know, there's some people out there that believe that their head physically needs to be covered when they come to church and when they pray, okay? Now, they're wrong about that, but that's not the biggest deal if people are wearing a bonnet when they come into church. Okay, you can, if you've got salvation right now. Now, unfortunately, the people who do that oftentimes are associated with false religions anyways that don't have the right gospel. My point is, at the end of the day, whether or not you're putting a hat on your head isn't really that big of a deal. Now, everything in the Bible is important, but I'm not going to say, hey, don't go to that church because they're not wearing hats, or they are, you know, like, that's not the standard, right? The standard for finding a good church is going to be, one, you have to go to church, and two, find one that has the right gospel, and we're going to get into some other important things too, but we're not getting into every single little doctrine. We're going to deal with the major ones because that's what we care about, because it's so important to go to church. And if you're trying to find a church that has every single doctrine exactly the way you want it to be, then you're never going to be in church. You're never going to be in church. I could say with pretty good certainty, I think, that everybody that comes to this church has some type of disagreement with the way that I believe things to be the truth in Scripture on some level. And I'm okay with that. Okay? Now, it may not be, hopefully it's not major doctrines, right? But at some point, if we were to sit down and talk about all the different things in the Bible that you could have beliefs on, everyone probably has a different understanding or interpretation about some things in the Bible. And that's fine. And that's normal. And that's healthy. Because you know what? None of us are perfect. And I'm not expecting to even be perfect myself, so obviously there's going to be some differences. So you can't just have too high of a standard of saying, well, I'm not going here because whatever. I mean, some silly thing or some small thing, right? But look at Galatians chapter 1, because this is a big deal. This highlights how important salvation is. The Bible says in Galatians 1, verse 6, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. So they're saying there's another gospel, and technically it's not really another because they're still trying to call it the same gospel. Right? Because people are still using it as the gospel of Jesus Christ. But it's really not the gospel of Christ because they've perverted it. They've changed it. They've taken the good news. They've taken the gospel. They've taken the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, and they've twisted it and they've perverted it. And he's going to explain further. Verse number 8. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again. If any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. And people are preaching other gospels by adding works and adding other things to the salvation. They need to be accursed. Not just neutral, right? You have blessings and you have cursings, right? Or you can just be neutral, right? If someone comes to you, you could give them a blessing. Oh, man, God bless you, you know, and give all kinds of praise and whatever to that person. You can be neutral and not really say much of anything, or you can curse them out, right? Now, most people don't choose cursing out in general because it's not pleasant, it's not fun. But someone who's bringing another gospel into you, you know what? They need to be cursed out. Let them be accursed. You know what? Let them go to hell. That's a curse. Don't you come in here trying to preach some false gospel and go around teaching other people that this is the way to be saved when that's not the way to be saved. I mean, look at how much damage that is. Of course they should be accursed. Because you're going to try to lead people to hell, you ought to be accursed. It's a big deal. But not only is salvation a free gift, which many people will give lip service to, but because it's a free gift, it lasts forever. So you're trying to find a good church to go to, a church to attend. Ask the questions. What do you believe about being saved? Is faith enough? And if they start coming at you with James 2 telling you faith is not enough, not the right church. Jesus Christ himself said in John 5:24, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Last forever. You get saved, you're saved eternally. You're saved forever. There is no question. There is no possibility of losing that salvation. You're saved forever. Amen. All right, I'm going to move on from that point because that is the most important point, but the sermon isn't just about salvation. Okay? It's about finding a good church and why you should come here. We believe the gospel. We believe that salvation is easy because you just have to put your trust in Christ. He did all the hard work for you. But you need to trust him. Why else? Turn to Psalm 12. We actually have the Word of God. We have the Word of God. Just as salvation, as many people are going to tell you they're saved, they're not saved. There's many books out there that are going to say Holy Bible on it, and they're not holy. It's just a book. What do you mean by that, Pastor Brosens? Well, in the English language, and in many other languages, there are many versions of the Bible that exist. Why is that a problem? Well, because when you have different versions, they're saying different things. Why would you even have another version if it said the same thing? You can't even call it another version, so what's the point? Well, we've got this one, but they're all the word, but they all say something different. Why would you even go through the efforts of producing something else if it didn't say something different than something that already existed? That makes no sense.
That's right.
Just by that fact alone, you got to be looking at this going, well, wait, why is this different? Why do you have it? Why do we need a new revised new standard version? New version. New and improved. Why? Bible's an old book. You don't need a bunch of new things added to it or changed from it. At the end of the day, and again, another sermon in and of itself, but Psalm 12, verse 6, the Bible says, the words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord, thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. So in a nutshell, the understanding, what the Bible teaches us, is that God is responsible for preserving his word. And that he has kept it, he has preserved it, and not only has he preserved it, but he's preserved it forever, and his word has been around for that entire time. It's been preserved. It's been in use. It's been delivered unto man, and it was not just hidden under a rock somewhere for thousands of years or hundreds of years, and just no one knows the word of God until all of a sudden now they do. As God has revealed his word unto man using his prophets, that word remains forever. And since God is the one that the Bible tells us is the one preserving it, we don't have to worry about corruption from man in the sense that, does man corrupt things? Yes. Which is why we have so many versions of the Bible right now. Because man has gone and corrupted the things of God. But God is still preserving his word. God has preserved it. And it is still around today. And because of that, we can trust in one Bible. Because God has preserved it. Yes, man has corrupted things, but you know what? Man has not corrupted what God has preserved. How can he? If God is preserving something, then it's there. Do we trust God at his word that he's going to preserve it? I do. Now, we have a lot more resources and information about this topic. It's a huge topic, right? I'm covering it essentially in one verse because I've got a lot of other points I want to make. But I'll tell you what, this is another extremely important verse because, or topic, not just a verse, topic. Everything that we believe comes from the Bible. I mean, it should, at least, it should. I mean, that's what we claim here. There's another point, I guess, if you find a church who's not, you know, even claiming to put their trust and their faith in the Word of God of being their source for the authority and what you believe, if they're going off of other things like the Catholic Church does, like just off of history and tradition and all this other stuff, look, we need to base what's right off of the Word of God. Not off of the word of man and doctrines of man, but on what the Bible says to be true. The word of God needs to be the foundation. So you can't have different words, because then you're going to have different beliefs. And I've proved this many, many times. You start comparing the modern versions. I've got modern perversions of the Bible. They're no longer in my pulpit, but I have them in my office. They need to come back into my pulpit so I can pull them out easily and show you the examples and the differences. But for very major things, there's verses removed, there's verses added, there's words changed, completely changing the meaning of the passage itself. And when you have that, you're going to have people believing different things because their source is wrong. And maybe I didn't mention this, and I should. I've just kind of assumed it. Our church is a King James Bible-only church. Because that is where God has preserved his word in English. And it exists in other languages, by the way. But in English, it's a King James version of the Bible. And this is what we speak here. Okay? I need to move on. I wish I could just park it here and continue preaching on this, but it's important. If you're not settled on this, do some research yourself, because it's that important. Because if you're going to base everything you believe on what a book says, get the right book. Get the right book. It's worth the investigation. We give away documentaries for free. There's a documentary called New World Order Bible Versions. excellent documentary that goes through the history of the King James Bible and does comparisons on other modern versions, does a lot good of explanation of why the other versions are wrong. Okay? It's free. Look it up online. You'll find that video for free to watch, and we have DVDs of it here to give away for free. So if you're not sure on that issue, do the research and figure out and make sure you've got the right book to base your faith on. Extremely important. And obviously, you don't want to just have it. You want to use it and treat it as the Word of God. It's another reason to come to our church, because not only do we just have it on the shelf or sitting on the pulpit, we're going to use it here. And we're going to treat it as having the authority that it really has. And not being ashamed of what the Bible says. And not backing down from what the Bible says. And believing all of what the Bible says, because it's the Word of God. Watch out for churches that make excuses and try to come up with reasons as to why you shouldn't believe what the Bible literally says. Watch out. Because of what? Why would you even do that? Who makes you a judge over what's right in the Bible? People that do that is because they don't like what it says. Look, I don't care if you like what the Bible says. And hopefully, you want to go to a church that's more interested in what God has to say than what man has to say, which is why you should come here, because we're going to preach the whole counsel of God. And we're going to believe it all. And we're going to go through all of it. The Bible says, and turn if you would to 1 Peter chapter 2, but Acts chapter 20 verse 26 says, "Wherefore I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men." This is the Apostle Paul speaking, saying, "Hey, look, my hands are clean. You know, I've got no blood on my hands. Here's why you could say, hey, I'm clean, there's no blood on my hands. For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God." He said, I didn't hold anything back. I'm not hiding anything from you. You're choosing, you know, one of the reasons why you should go to our church is because I'm not going to hold back. Amen. We are not going to hold back as a church. Amen. People want to come in and visit and ask about doctrines. Ask away. We are very transparent and open on what we believe here. You don't have to have a membership and a subscription to see the sermons that we put up. We're not trying to hide it under a bushel. What we believe, we want the whole world to know. So we're going to put it out there. I'm going to make it as public as possible. I want people to know what we believe. I'm not ashamed of what the Bible says. People say, Pastor Brosens, but I saw you on the news. And they didn't really say nice things about you. I don't care what they say about me. The reason why I'm on the news is because there's not many churches that are willing to actually say what the Bible says and stand by it. Because we ought not to buckle under pressure of wicked people who want to silence the Word of God. Because when the Bible makes claims, we want to believe it. We're not hypocrites. Now look, obviously, and I said this before, you're never going to find a perfect church. There's always going to be some drama. There's always going to be some problems, because every church is full of sinners. We're all sinners here, and none of us are perfect, so you're going to have problems that go along with sin. However, there's a huge difference between the fact that none of us are perfect and a church just full of a bunch of hypocrites. Big difference. When Jesus was talking to everybody he talked to, everybody had some certain degree of hypocrisy, even his own disciples, because they were sinners. Because when you say you believe in something, hey, I believe in the law of the Lord, and I believe it's perfect. Well, then why are you still sinning? Well, because I'm not perfect, okay? So in that, you know, in whatever example you find me sinning, you can call me a hypocrite because I say I believe it, I'm not actually doing it. Everyone has that level of hypocrisy. But Jesus didn't go around calling everybody hypocrites. Huge difference. And here's why. It's because when we do wrong, if you do wrong and you admit, hey, I've done wrong. Yeah, this is really what I believe and I've done wrong. That's not hypocrisy. That's just saying, look, I failed, but I still believe it, and that's still true. The hypocrites are the ones that are going to continue preaching something and thinking they're not guilty of it when they are. When Jesus was talking to Pharisees, over and over again, he's calling them hypocrites. You're a hypocrite. You're saying to do all this stuff, and you're not doing it. You're saying people need to follow us. You're not doing that. You're saying all these things, and you won't even lift your finger. And you're teaching for doctrine the commandment of men. And they're a bunch of hypocrites. Now, the Bible tells us, if you're in 1 Peter chapter 2, look at verse number 1, that essentially we need to keep it real. And you know, honestly, this is one of the reasons why people don't go to church. Because there's too many churches out there where people don't treat the Word of God as having the authority it should. And they'll claim, oh, we all believe the Bible. But then you start asking them questions about the Bible. Ask them, well, what do you believe about this? And it doesn't line up with the Bible at all. Or, you know, well, then why are you doing this? And why are you going out to the bars? And why are you doing drugs? And why are... Because they're just a big hypocrite, and they're not giving it well. And you start making excuses for why the Bible says what it says, as I mentioned before. That's hypocrisy. Don't try to justify yourself. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse number 1, wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile, right? Guile is being deceptive. It's being sneaky. You're supposed to lay that aside. And hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby, if so be you have tasted the Lord is gracious. So the Bible is teaching us that we need to put aside the deceitfulness and the hypocrisies and desire the milk of the word. Desire what the Bible says. Desire God's word to help you to grow. And one of the reasons why you should attend our church is because that's what our church does and believes. And the people here actually want to keep growing and love the Lord and love and want to hear this stuff and get rid of their hypocrisies. Because when you come to church here, now there may, at all times, there may always be some people who fall short. And again, it's because no church is perfect and not all people are just going to be living righteously and perfectly all the time. But there's a huge difference between the church that they're going to say something, you know, in church, and then be a totally different person outside of church. And there's entire churches filled with that type of person, where it's just, I put on a show on Sunday, and the rest of my life is completely different than my show on Sunday. I don't want to go to church like that. People are sick of churches like that. But you know what? At Stronghold Baptist Church, that's not the way our church is. It's not the way our church is. It's not just a show. The people who come to our church actually believe these things and make changes in their life. Ask them. Because you know what? When you actually do that, it causes problems. See, no one has a problem with the people putting on a show on Sundays. No one cares about that. Because then you don't have to deal with that the rest of the week. They say, you were just in church. Oh, okay, yeah, I understand. But then they live the rest of their life like, oh, yeah, okay, fine, great. We could do whatever. It doesn't matter. Nothing's wrong. Nothing is immoral because I'm not in church today. No, that's hypocrisy. When you start making stands and saying, look, no, I actually believe this, then it ought to impact your life outside of church. I'm doing something different. I'm not doing that anymore. Why? Because the Bible says so. Because I actually believe the Bible. Turn, if you would, to 1 John chapter 2. You're trying to find a good church to go to. One of the reasons why you should come to our church and that, consider and look at other churches is it's not all about the money here. It's not all about money. I was listening to a false preacher yesterday real quick. It popped up on my YouTube list, and I was just like, he kept bringing up money over. Now, he'd bring it up as jokes. He'd bring it up just directly. And by the way, that false preacher is Sam Gipp, the false prophet devil. Yes, he is. But he defends the King James. I don't care. I was listening to just a portion of him. He's getting up to preach some other church, and he starts talking about, oh, yeah, the book table at the back. Yes, we do take credit cards, by the way, and just starts talking about his money. And then he's talking about, yeah, well, and he's starting to make like a joke of, well, we could just bring up a couple verses and we'd be out of here real quick. I bet you'd give it and then pass the offering plate around again. I bet you'd give money for that, wouldn't you? And three times I counted with it. I didn't get very far into it. I think it was maybe a few minutes. Three times he's bringing up passing the plate and money. And you know, it's just like, because that's what's in his heart. And false prophets, these people who are after filthy lucre and they preach for that, that's what they care about. We're going to send that plate around again. Oh, we need to keep talking about it. We need to raise all this money and money and money and money and money and money. Get out of there. Get out of there. That's not what church is about. That's why at Stronghold Baptist Church, everything's free, first of all. You want a songbook? Take a songbook. You need a Bible? Take a Bible. You want the DVDs we have? That's what they're there for. We're giving them away for free. We're not selling the truth. We're not trying to sell anything here. You want to come to a church activity? Guess what? It's free. You want to go on a camping trip with us? Guess what? We paid for the sites. Because it's not about the money. Now, of course, we collect offerings. We have to run somehow, and there is a command of God for giving, okay? But it's not all about the money. It's not the focus. It's not the main point. Isn't just money, 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 money. It's not the purpose, and it ought not to be. With the money we have, we're going to use it, hopefully to the glory of God, and whatever we don't have, we're not going to use. Guess what? It's pretty easy, right? Should work the same way in your home. You don't have it, don't use it. But Jesus, I mean, this was a big deal. This is one of the only times you're going to see Jesus react the way that he does is when he walks into the temple and he sees people buying and selling and conducting business where there's money going on and people selling stuff. And it makes him angry and he makes a whip and he drives everyone out of the temple. And I'll read the context for you. John chapter 2, verse 14, the Bible says, "And found in the temple those that sold oxen and sheep and doves and the changers of money sitting." And people are going to give you all kinds of reasons why it's okay to have the bookstore. It's okay to be setting up a table and selling books in the house of God because these people were charging interest and that was the problem. Or these people were... Look, the Bible never says anything about interest and it never says anything about the price and it never says anything about those reasons that people try to explain away as to why Jesus got so angry. And in fact, what they're doing is they're selling things that are for worshiping the Lord. They're selling the oxen and the sheep and the doves that are used for sacrifices. I mean, it's all business that would be, hey, I mean, this is what it's all about, right? I mean, we're trying to make it easier for the people to get their sacrifices, so we're selling them in the temple. Now, is it wrong to sell doves and oxen and sheep? No. But is it wrong to sell them in the temple? Yes. Is it wrong for a traveling evangelist to sell books? No, I don't believe so. If you author books and you want to sell books and you want to go ahead and do that, great. Go ahead and do it. But you know what? You're not going to bring them into the house of God and try to peddle them here. You're not going to sell your whatever, anything in here. And that's why we don't sell anything at all. Because Jesus got so mad, it says in verse 15, "And when he had made a scourge of small cords, he drove them all out of the temple and the sheep and the oxen and poured out the changers' money and overthrew the tables." And look at what he says and who he says it to. This shows you it's not about the price. It's not about the usury. It's not about anything like that. It says, "And said unto them that sold doves." He's not even talking to the money changers. He's just talking about the person who set up a booth and he's got doves there. Here you go. We've got your doves. "Take these things hence." Get these things out of here. Get these things out of here. He doesn't rebuke them and say, "Oh, you're charging too much money." Right? Because then they'd be able to stay. "Hey, lower your prices. You're gouging the people of God." Not what he says. "Get these things out of here. Get these things out of here. Take these things hence. Make not my Father's house a house of merchandise." That's the problem. It's a house of merchandise. Why? Because you're selling things. That's what merchandise is. Don't go to churches where they're selling, they're peddling their stuff to you. That's wicked. Jesus got really angry about that. Now, that might be a smaller issue. And if that's the only church you could find that has the right gospel and they've got the word of God and they've got some of the other more important things, you might just need to grit your teeth and go. But if you want a reason why you should come to our church, we don't sell anything here. And now, if you go to a church where they're just focused on money all the time, I doubt they have the right gospel. Because if they're preaching on money all the time, there's a reason for that. Because that's an attribute of a false prophet. Did I have you turn to 1 John chapter 2? Yes, 1 John chapter 2. I might have confused you because then I read from John chapter 2. And you're like, maybe Pastor Man turned to John chapter 2. That's, I caught up now. Because that one's going like, maybe you said that. I'll let you get there. 1 John chapter 2. That is what I meant. 1 John chapter 2. Because another reason to come to our church is that we're not trying to make religion or make the church hip or trendy and try to just fit in with the world and try to change everything and change the way that we serve the Lord to fit the world standards. I was reading this, actually what prompted this whole sermon is I was looking in the news and trying to get some ideas of what's going on in the world, because I like hitting some topics that are current and applying the Bible to current issues. And there was some article just about how, you know, there's so many people not going to church and all this other stuff. And saying, especially young people, you know what, you can look around our church, there's a lot of young people here. We actually reach young people. You know why we reach young people? You know why young people should come to our church? It's because we're not holding back the truth. And because we're not trying to be something we're not. And we're not trying to say, oh, look how cool we are. And we're going to be all gangster if that's the cool thing. And we're going to, you know, look, no. We're going to try to be godly. Because when people are interested in the truth, guess what? That's what they want. We don't need to dress it up. We don't need to try to sugarcoat it. And I don't know about you, but it's probably the same as me. I know when I was looking for a church, I just want someone to tell me the truth. Just be straight with me. Don't beat around the bush. Just come forward with it. I want to know what the Bible says. You don't have to treat me with little kid hands. Right? I'm an adult. And we're going to preach truth from the Bible, and it is what it is. Now, are people going to be offended? Sure they are. But you know what? It doesn't matter how much you try to dress it up. The people who are going to be offended are going to be offended because they don't like the fact that they're wrong about something. That's why people get offended, because their sin gets pointed out. So it's better, like a Band-Aid, just rip it off. Right? Just expose it. So there it is. I'm not going to try to be... You know, how can you be nice about sin? It's kind of like when we go soul winning, you try to be delicate, but at the same point, you got to tell someone like, hey, at the end of the day, people are going to hell and going to be tortured and tormented forever. There's only so nice of a way to say that to people. Right. You still have to say it. Right. You got to say, look, if you don't believe this, you're going to burn in hell forever. See, the world doesn't like that. That's not very inclusive. I think everyone should go to heaven. Well, it doesn't matter what you think. That's not what the Bible says, and we're going to teach the Bible. But the Bible teaches us in verse 15, 1 John chapter 2, it says, love not the world. We're not supposed to love the world. So because we're not supposed to love the world, we're not going to try to bring everything about the world into church. Oh, hey, look, the world... There's all these. I love going to rock concerts. I love the smoke machines and the lights. And man, it's so much fun and it's so cool. Man, I wish we could do that at church. The world does that. We're not going to do that. The world has a lot of filthy standards and does a lot of filthy things. We're not going to bring that in here. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, those are the Bible says, the love of the Father is not in him. And I think one of the reasons why so many young people are being just jaded with churches is because inherently you can see this. You're being fake. You're being phony. You're trying to use some gimmick to attract people in the church when they know that church should be different. It needs to be different. It needs to be different from the world. Otherwise, why even come? Why even go to church then? Why do I need to go to a rock concert in church when I could just go to a real rock concert? Seriously. And all these knockoff, these Christian knockoffs of things. I mean, if you're just going to do it, do the real thing. It's going to be more satisfying and more gratifying to your flesh anyways. Because the reason why you want to go to a rock concert is to gratify your flesh. Because it feels good. It's great. Then go gratify your flesh. You try to tone it down a little bit and add Christ, you're still just trying to gratify your flesh. But it's not going to be quite as gratified because you're merging it in with the things of God. It's just not quite as good. Look, if you're going to love the world, just go love the world. But that's not what church is for. And that's not what we should be doing as Christians anyways. The Bible says, look, if you love this world, you love everything the world's putting out, the love of the Father is not in you. The Bible says in verse 16, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. So we're not going to have the movie night where, what's the newest popular movie that's out? Oh, let's play it in church. What's the newest popular song that's on the radio? Well, we're going to play it in church. We're going to bring everything that the world is pumping out culturally and bring it into church. No. 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 Because we don't love the world. We have nothing to do with the world. And we're going to rebuke the world. Because it's not of the Father. Because the things in church are supposed to be things of the Father. I know, it's such a difficult concept to grasp. But people wonder, why aren't the kids coming? Look, because they don't want the world light. They just want the world. Or they just want the truth. This wishy-washy stuff in the middle, nobody likes that. Look, be hot or cold. And just like God's going to spew out the lukewarm church, even the world thinks that way. Like, look, unless they just want to gratify their flesh by checking off a box and getting a pat on the back saying they're good with everything because they have itching ears. Other than that, there's no other reason to even go to these churches. But that's not what you're going to get here. The Bible tells us we need to be a peculiar people. All right, I'm going to skip over some scriptures for sake of time. All right. I have to cover this. Turn to Leviticus 20. I have to cover this. There's a reason to come to our church. More than ever. I know you know where I'm going with this. At least our church members do. Why are we going to Leviticus 20, Pastor Burzins? Because the world's going to say this is a reason not to go to our church. The news, they're going to tell you this is why you should not go to Stronghold Baptist Church. Don't go there. This church, weak, watered down, phony Christians are going to tell you this is why you should not go to Stronghold Baptist Church. This is a reason why you should come to Stronghold Baptist Church. And this is a great example of why you should come to church here. The other points are more important, especially when it comes to salvation, when it comes to the Word of God. Okay, look, that trumps all of this. But I'll tell you what, in the climate that we're in right now, in the culture that we're in right now, in the bobsled to hell morally that our society is on right now, this is a stop point that Christians either get on or off the bus here and just go, look, I am on board with the Word of God or I'm not. You decide for yourself. You know what? As for me and my house and as for us and our church, we're going to serve the Lord. And we're not going to compromise. And we're not going to be fake. And we're not going to be phony. And when someone brings up passages of the Bible, we're going to go, oh, I don't know. Because we're afraid and we're worried about people to do. You know what? You want to come to a bold church? We're going to preach the whole Word of God because we love God and we love His Word. And we're going to follow His Word. And we know that His Word is true. And no matter how loud and obnoxious and scary the children of the devil are that want to silence the word of God, we're not going to stop. We're not going to stop. Now, it may be uncomfortable for you. I get that. I get it. You know what? Sometimes being right isn't comfortable. Do you want to be right? Do you want to be right with God? Do you care more about what God thinks about you than man? I hope so. That goes to the core of your belief system. Do you care more about God or do you care more about what man's going to think? Are you going to be an ultimate hypocrite and care more about what God's creation thinks about you than what God himself thinks about you? Decide that for yourself. I'd just rather just be a big hypocrite. Okay, it's funny because we're the ones that are always called hypocrites. It's amazing. But there's no substance to it. Hey, bear witness of the hypocrisy. Because what they'll do is they'll say, oh, you believe in the death penalty for homosexuals, but you don't believe. But yes, I do believe in it for all the other reasons that the Bible says. Yes, I do. Don't call me a hypocrite, because I do believe that. Why don't you ask first? Why don't you find out first what we actually believe? Because we believe all the Bible. And if you want to try to cherry pick some part that doesn't fly with the world standards today, go ahead, because we're going to stand on it. And not just stand on it, and not just not back down, we're going to proclaim it, because it's good, because it's right, because this doctrine about the homos is so important these days, because they are some of the most wicked, vile people on the face of this earth. That's right. That somebody needs to stand up and say, no. Yeah. No, this is what God thinks. And we're not going to back down. Leviticus 20, look at verse number 13. The Bible says, if a man also lie with mankind as he lieth with a woman, both of them have committed an abomination. They shall surely be put to death. Their blood shall be upon them. No apologies. That's what God's word says. That's what God thinks about this subject. That's what he thinks about it. It's abomination. It's vile. They deserve the death penalty. Now, that's not the only thing that deserves a death penalty. There's plenty of other things. You know what, though? I'm not going to say, because here's what Christians today will do. Yeah, murderers should be put to death. Maybe they'll say rapists should be put to death, because that's what the Bible says. But then all of a sudden you get to the sodomite. Well, no. I mean, hey, they should be able to do whatever they want in the comfort of their home. And I mean, we shouldn't be like that. We should be more loving. What? Yeah. Where does that come from? Yeah. Where's your foundation for that? Right. You hypocrite. It's okay to put the murderer to death. It's okay to put the child killer to death. But it's not okay to put the sodomite to death. Why? Are you more just than God? Show me in the New Testament where God changed his mind on the sodomite. Because I'll show you in the book of Jude, verse 7, where the Bible says, even as Sodom and Gomorrah, and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh. Strange, that's not normal. That ain't right. That's queer. That's different, okay? Normal flesh is a man and a woman. That's normal. That's natural. We'll get to that in a minute. Strange flesh is that queer going after the same flesh. Going after strange flesh. That's what Sodom did. That's why they're called Sodomites. Because that's what they were known for. Utter perversion. Are set forth for an example. Look, Jude's the New Testament, folks. And he's pointing to the Old Testament going, yep, there's an example right there. What's the example? Suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. How God feels about it. Don't kid yourself. Don't pretend and thinking, well, somehow this is okay. Well, I guess we shouldn't really talk about it. Well, why should you be so disparaging? Are you okay with me being disparaging against murderers? Is that okay? Am I going to hurt your feeling, you little snowflake, if I say that people who are worthy of committing abominations, if I actually am derogatory against them because they ought to be just reviled? They ought to be looked down upon. They ought to be cast down in our sight as being evil and wicked. Yes, we should do those things. Yes, we should make people into monsters so that other people don't want to do the same thing. Because they are monsters. Because when you do filthy, vile, abominable things, don't expect people to praise you. Call it out for what it really is. There's a stink that goes forth from that level of iniquity, and there's no fixing it. That's why it's a death penalty. You can, just as much as you can't bring a person back from the dead, okay, when someone's murdered, they're murdered. Okay, all that's left now is you got to take their life. When someone is a sodomite, there's no fixing that either. There's no one doing that damage. There's no one doing the damage of a rape either, by the way. Death. Death, yes, death. That's what God says, that's what's right. Now, as always, we need to take the Bible, not just literally, but understanding these are all commandments that are commanded for the ruling authorities to carry out. That's the judgment. That's the way that everything is defined, is there should be a hearing and a case, an investigation, and a determination of guilt or innocence. These aren't things that, because I've heard that before too, oh, you're a hypocrite, so then why aren't you going out and killing these people? Because that's against the Bible too.
That's right.
Because you got to have a judge that's going to hear the evidence and is going to do a diligent inquiry to determine the truthfulness of the evidence. And then carry out the judgment, the punishment. It needs to be part of the law. God gave man what the law should be. And if it's not the law of the land, then it's not the responsibility of you to just make it the law of the land on your own and just be a vigilante and go off and do your own thing. That's not right either. But turn if you will to Romans chapter 1. We need more clarity on this. Because kids these days are getting really confused. This is an agenda that is just getting worse and worse and worse and being brought into schools and brought into targeting little kids more and more through cartoons and movies and music and public education. Everywhere you turn now, they are pushing this normalization of something that is abominable and wicked and wrong, and everyone seems to be okay with it. And people have bought into this lie that Christians just need to be tolerant of everything. And it's a lie. It's a lie. We don't need to be tolerant over everything. Now, we need to be long-suffering like God is, but that doesn't mean you're tolerant either. Romans 1 explains the sodomite. Verse number 26, the Bible says, "For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections." Vile means disgusting. Their affections are disgusting to God. For even, this is how we know it's all, how do you know it's all about sodomites? "For even the women did change the natural use into that which is against nature." Sodomite does things against nature. It's not natural. We all have a sin nature. That's not natural. Being a sodomite, not natural. Women laying with women, not natural. Men laying with men, not natural. Not natural. And I don't care what animal, what beast you want to turn to that says, well, they do this. It proves my point. They're an animal. That whoever is doing this, man with man, woman with woman, they're a beast. They're an animal. Do we look to animals for our morality? I hope not. Well, an animal eats its own dung, so I guess it's okay for us to do that. A dog returns to his own vomit. I guess that's good for us to do, right? So an animal lies with the same kind, so that's good for us too, right? No. No, because you're a human being. You're created in the image of God. You're different than the animal world. And God made you different than the animal world. And God said that's not natural for human beings to do that. Not natural. It's against nature. "And likewise also the men," verse 27, "leaving the natural use of the woman, burning her lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error, which was meat. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient." The reprobates, the rejected. God rejected them. Plain and simple. All right, I can't skip these points, but I had to have this in here. You know why? Because we're transparent. You know why? Because we live in a really wicked and vile culture and society. And people are not making the stand. You know what? We are making the stand. Why should you come to our church? Because we make that stand. Because we're going to make that stand. Because we're not going to allow the degradation any further as much as possible. We're going to be somebody standing up and saying, no, this is what God says. That's why you should come to our church. Don't know of very many doing the same thing. There's some, but not, I don't know of very many. I hope there's more out there than I realize. I really do. But it's something to look at when you're considering a church. Speaking of predators, one of the reasons to come to our church is our church is a place, a safe place for your family to come. Because we're family integrated. Because we like keeping the parents and the children together. Unfortunately, there's too much abuse because there's so much trust that goes on in churches, and there's closed doors, and there's all these classrooms and nurseries where adults are left alone with children, and then bad things happen. It's another reason why that, you know, people don't go to church, and I understand that. I mean, if I had a child that was molested at a church, it'd be hard to overcome that to even go to any church after that. It's a big deal. Now, I'm not saying it's right. You should still go to church, but that's a, I mean, if something like that were to happen, I mean, that's huge. That's devastating. That is life-altering. That's something you can never get back, which is why those people deserve to be put to death again. But see, Christians have no problem with that. Yeah, the pedophile being put to death, of course. Well, guess what? Those that are doing things against nature that God's given over to that reprobate mind, those are the ones doing that. It's the same people doing that. The ones that you say, oh, no, we shouldn't say that. It's the same people doing that. Because anyone that's perverted enough to harm a child that way has the same level of perversion by even being able to lie with someone of the same gender. Yeah, it's gross. So when you're already given over to being able to do that, it makes sense. What stops you from abusing a child at that point? Nothing. Because you're given over to a reprobate mind. And the reason why it's a safe church, it's not because there's never going to be bad people who come here. It's going to be because we don't separate you from your children. So it's going to be as safe as you are with your children. And I'll say this now, because it's important, don't trust people just because they're from church. What I mean by that is, you know, there's a certain level of trust that you would give everybody. Don't trust your children with anybody. They're too valuable. It doesn't mean that we don't like the people, we're not friendly, and we don't have a certain level. Like, I'll trust people with my car from church, right? Well, here you go. I'll trust people with other things. I'll trust people with property. I'll trust people to do things. I'll trust, you know, there's a lot of trust that I'm going to give, and more trust probably to people in church than to some other people. But when it comes to your kids, I mean, don't put them in a position where there's no coming back from. Just don't do it. And I harp on, I'm going to preach on that over and over again. Don't let them just go off to some person's house that you think you know and just completely outside of your supervision. You have no idea what's going to happen on these overnight trips and stuff. Look, it's not worth it. Now, do what you want to do. But I'm going to warn about that. And I'm going to teach about that. And we're not going to allow those things within the church. So at least within the church setting, don't allow for that. Don't allow for those things. We have camping trips. Family has to be there. You're not going off with anyone else. We're not signing waivers either. We're not doing it. You come with your parents or you don't come. Anything like camping trips, overnight, things like that. We haven't had to deal with it, but that's just what we do here. Why? Because I want it to be a safe place. Because under my watch in this church, no child is going to be defiled. One of the reasons to come here, turn if you go to Matthew chapter 28. I mentioned this at the beginning, we have a great church family. The Bible says in Romans 12:9, let love be without dissimulation. It's not fake, right? I know the people of our church, if for people who are just visiting, if you haven't been here before, people actually care about people here. And we're not some huge mega church. Everybody knows everyone here. The Bible says, abhor that which is evil, cleave that which is good, be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love and honor, preferring one another. And that's the spirit, prevailing spirit that we have at Stronghold Baptist Church. It's a great reason to come. There's a lot of great reasons to come here. I can't get into all of them, but the last one, I'm going to leave you with this, is another extremely important reason. Okay? Another reason to come here is because God commanded us to preach the gospel to the lost, and that is a primary focus of our church. It's not good enough for you just to be saved and to hide that light under a bushel. It's not good enough in the Christian life. And at our church, we're going to push you because we want you to grow, because I want you to get closer to the Lord. I want you spiritually to get closer to God. Think of our church like a gym, right? Now, I'm not a big gym person. I haven't really been to many gyms. So I'm going to make up a scenario. Hopefully, it rings true. Right? Imagine you got one gym. They're only open one day a week. Right? For an hour. And there may be a lot of people that show up to that gym, but no one's really using any of the equipment. No one's really doing anything, right? But you can go there and you might be able to find something like an exercise bike or something like that. But they're not going to have a lot of equipment either. There's going to be a few things that you might hear that can help you spiritually, right? There's a lot of churches out there that will give you some good advice. It might give you some things that might strengthen you in a few areas. But when you come here, it's like walking into a gym where you've got personal trainers. And you come in and there's all this equipment. And you're going to have not just trainers, but you have a bunch of people. Everyone there is going to be helping you to work out. You're going to get in much better shape where you've got the people there to help you and support you. And you know, and you've got all this equipment. And it's open a lot more often. And there's a lot going on than not. But here's the thing. Just like with a gym, you know, you need to work. It needs to be a little bit painful in order for you to really grow, in order to build muscles, in order for you to get more fit and more in shape. There's going to be some hurt. There's going to be some pain. There's going to be that growth factor. Well, which there isn't. You can show up to a gym, and if you're not really doing anything, and then at that point, it's kind of like, what's the point of going to the gym? You're not really using the equipment. You're not doing anything. You're not being pushed. Who cares? And that's the way people are with church these days. They're not going, they're not being fed, they're not really changing, they're not being challenged, they're not doing anything any different than what they're doing the rest of their life, so what's the point of even going? But when you come here, we're going to try to push you. And not just for the sake of pushing, but to get better, to say, hey, look, here's what the Bible says. Hey, look, here's what the Bible says. Hey, we're going to try to feed you. I'm going to try to give you some more truth from the Word of God and say, this is what the Bible says. So, you know, make the change in your life. So you can grow. It's going to be a little uncomfortable. But it is what it is. Maybe you've never given the gospel to anyone before, and just the thought of that makes you uncomfortable. But look what Jesus said in Matthew 28, verse 18. The Bible says, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore. Okay? Jesus came here. Look, I've got all power in heaven and in earth right now. So now here's what I'm telling you to do. You go, therefore, and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. See, I'm there with you. Right here with you. But you need to go. You need to go. You need to teach all nations. You need to baptize. And in Mark 16, 15, it's the same event. There's another thing that's recorded that Jesus said. It says, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. It's known as the Great Commission. This is something that Christ has told us to do. And when you go into, after the book of John, into the book of Acts, the Acts of the Apostles, the Acts of the Disciples, what the people who are following Jesus were actually doing, guess what they're doing? They're preaching the gospel, and they're preaching the gospel, and they're preaching the gospel. They're going on mission trips. They're going around. They're talking to people. They're making converts. They're getting people baptized. This is what they're doing, because that's what Christians should do. And if you go to a church that's not doing that, then you're not going to the right church. Not a biblical church. Biblical church is going out and doing the work that Jesus said to do. Biblical church is one that actually regards the Word of God and is going to hold it as holy and true. I think there's a lot of reasons coming. I love our church. And I'm not just saying that because I'm the pastor here. I love our church. And I'm willing to say right now is the best church that I've ever been a part of. And I'm thankful for the churches I've been in, especially Faithful Word Baptist Church, and for all the help and all the training and everything else. And I love Pastor Anderson, you know, so it's nothing against him or anything like that. But our church as a whole, I love our church here. Amen. I love our church. I think it's a great church. And I'm not saying our church is better than theirs or anything like that. I'm just saying I love our church. All right? And this is the best church that I've been a part of. I love this church. I love everybody here. And you know, hopefully we could find more people that believe the same way that want to be a part of this type of church. There's so many reasons to go to this church. And if you feel the same way, well, as we go out and talk to people, let's tell other people about why you love this church, right? So it doesn't just have to come from the pastor. Because of course, I mean, you're going to expect that, yeah. Right? But I love hearing other people say, you know, yeah, this is a great church. I love this church because, you know, it's not coerced. It's genuine. And the church isn't me. If the church was me, it wouldn't be the size it is right now. The church is a group of people that love God and want to serve God, and we're all working together. We're striving together, the work that God has for us. So let's let's try to do what Jesus told us to do and get disciples and get people in and get them trained and get them taught and teaching all things whatsoever that he's commanded us to do. Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you so much for your word and for all the instruction that we can get from the Bible, Lord. I pray that you please just bless everyone here today, Lord, and help us to serve you better, and I pray that you would just build our church and bring more believers here, Lord, that we can help train and help lead us to those people, Lord, and we're not just expecting you just to do everything and that we're not doing the work, Lord. As we do the work, as we go forth and do as you've commanded us, Lord, build our church and bring in the people as you see fit to add to our church here, Lord. We love you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right, we're going to sing one last song before we're dismissed. Brother Peter, please lead us.
All right, if you guys can open up your hymnals, song number 259. Song 259, Jesus Saves. Hymn number 259. All right, let's sing this out with our hearts.
We have heard the joyful sound. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Spread the tidings all around. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Bear the news to every land. Find the steeds and cross the waves. Onward tis.
Jesus saves.
again, thank you so much for coming. You guys are dismissed.